the gag who drives it through.
We had the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson, defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
You're listening to the MFC podcast. Those who listen on a regular basis or follow us on Twitter may be aware that our esteemed host Sparra has left us for new pastures. We're quietly confident he may be back at some point in the near future, but while he's away, it's down to Bustan, myself, Jay, to keep things rolling on. A bit like Louis Malt going to Preston and leaving Alex Fishing and Ryan Bowman leading the line for Motherwell. But we are joined by our very own Nadir Chief Jay and Curtis Main today. We've got Motherwell fan and football trivia mastermind Craig Holmes and Fir Park Hospitality kingpin Peter Elder. How are we all doing?
Very well indeed.
So
I'm assuming I'm
Nadia
Chief
Jay
then.
You could be, well, if you want, aye. But anyway, right, we'll just crack on. So quite a good week, I suppose, for Motherwell, both on and off the park, after a really difficult end to last year. We could obviously just start from the beginning, a good win against Hamilton Accies in the Scottish Cup. The same Accies side who'd obviously beaten us just a few weeks before, just as the winter break came into play. Buster, I suppose it probably wasn't the best performance we'll see this season for Motherwell, but it was a local derby, it was a cup tie. It was a game that was probably a wee bit even more tastier than it normally would be because of the way the last game ended, and yet I suppose it was job done.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think before we went away, we were saying the winter break could do as well, and I think, to be honest with you, it really has. We seem to be grinding out the results, and as you says, the Hamilton game, that's exactly what it was. It wasn't exactly poison in the eye, but we got a nice own goal. It's good to see own goals like that. I've always dream of them. You know, at that moment, the opposition passes the ball back to the goalkeeper, you always imagine a wee bobble or something. But this time, you know, I wasn't even in the ground yet, but it went in the goals, and then as you say, good work for Chiefty and Main to win the penalty, which Tanner stuck away. So, as you say, job done. Wasn't a great performance. Wasn't a very pleasing in the eyes, I mentioned. But we're in the bag for the next round.
Yeah, and Peter, I suppose James, what am I talking about? Just because it says James Worry on my screen. Buster. Apologies. It is a Sunday. Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Sunday, isn't it?
But Buster makes a point there about Accies obviously gifting us the lead early enough on that we were in the queue outside. Ridiculous own goal. Kind of summed up Accies a wee bit, I thought. You know, the Accies that came and beat us 3-1 weren't particularly great, but they still, you know, put us under pressure, still created chances. I thought Accies were really, really poor in the cup game. How much do you think the result is down to our own performance and how much was down to Accies just being absolutely dreadful?
Maybe a wee bit of both. They weren't their usual irritating selves. They usually, on the irritant scale, they're right up there about a 10 in terms of how they conduct themselves, slow the game down, all the dark arts, if you like. And if it makes you feel better, I have seen the goal, the own goal at the time. I was at just outside the accountant's office at the back of the Chapman building. There was a wee door looks onto the corner of the park.
I was handing in some money, and I seen the ball rolling into the net. I didn't see how it got there. It was comedy gold. We haven't seen that quite as ridiculous an goal for a while. Not since Richard Goff retired, anyway. But listen, it's a cup tie. You know, we do that kind of performance another two or three times. We're back at Hampden. You know, cup ties are just about winning. You can play lovely football, but if you get beat, nobody remembers that. And Buster was absolutely right. The great point about the break coming at the right time. I think a lot of players were tired with the excesses of the season, probably playing more games than we had anticipated up until December. And players were carrying injuries, players were desperately needing a break, and I think the last few, the three games since then, we've seen that we've seen more energised, a couple of new boys in that have stepped in and linked up very well. The main chief partnership seems to be you know, looking pretty good already, even though only had not even the three full games together, and Tom Aldred looks a bit like a rock at the back. So you know, the performance I think will come because we're bedding in some new players, and we've tried four at the back and three at the back. So when you're chopping and changing, you can't get, I suppose, consistency of performance all the time. But you know, three games unbeaten, especially, you know, that beyond last minute equaliser yesterday, which was absolutely fantastic. So you know, performance I think will come. We'll have the energy, we'll have the effort, we'll have the work rate, and we're making chances up front. So another tricky one on Wednesday, but I wouldn't bet against us getting something there either.
Aye, and Craig, obviously, Peter mentions there the new signings, obviously, making their debuts against Accies. How important was it? I mean, obviously, you know, Tom Aldred, for example, perhaps started a game that he may not have started had Peter Hartley been available. But all three were obviously chucked in at the deep end. I mean, how vital was it to see all three, not just, you know, given their debuts so early on in their Motherwell careers, but actually, you know, contributing quite a lot, and as we've seen since, you know, particularly Chief Chi and Main seem to have striked up a good partnership really, really quickly.
Yeah, the front two looks good. Certainly Chief Chi's, I think everyone can see, he's not fully fit yet. I think we're giving him sort of seem to be an hour a game for the first three. But he's getting there. I think you can see how they're linking up. Both seem to have good football brains. Main seems to be the more runner of the two. I don't think Chief Chi's ever going to be a big runner. But I think after a few more games, we can get him up to speed. And hopefully he gets his first goal as well. I remember obviously the Hamilton game, he was certainly asking for the penalty. When we get the penalty, he didn't get it. But I think it's important for strikers to get their goals early doors. We've seen Main now get two in his first three. That's massive for his confidence going forward as well. So hopefully Chief Chi can do that. And the same for scoring goals for strikers, because it was the same with Aldred. In his first two games, he had two clean sheets. You know, one goal conceded in three games. So that'll be big for him as well. And we've got Hartley coming back too. He's got a big, massive part of the first half of the season. So I think we've got four, you know, good options in the three set and a half positions there as well. So it's never a bad thing to have competition for places. So hopefully that keeps them all on their toes. I think I'm excited about the front too. That'll be something different.
Just on the, you know, the chieftain main sort of thing. You know, as Def just says there, they seem to be linking up well. I was a bit worried about Chief T's sort of lazy attitude. You know, I don't think he's going to be lazy, but you know, his lazy attitude when he's stoating about the park. Basically, I think the three has commented on it at one of the games we were all standing together. But somebody, I can't mind if it was you, Des, but somebody described him as a Berbatov-like sort of player. You know, I'm not saying he's anywhere near as good as Berbatov, but you know, he's got the wee flashes when he gets the ball. And then he sort of stunners back into the middle, waiting to get the ball again. But I think the two of them do look really good together.
Well, I was just going to might as well just carry on with the new signings before we go on and speak about the County Hearts games, since we're on the subject. I mean, Chief Chi in particular, I think, is one that sort of divided the Motherwell support. In fact, I think, you know, Motherwell fans are perhaps just like every other group of football fans. You know, practically every new signing divides the support. You know, I've read people talking about how I think it was at Bury that we got Aldred from, and I think, you know, there was obviously Bury fans seemed quite pleased that he'd left, and so your Motherwell fans being negative about that signing already. Curtis Main was kind of singled out by a few Motherwell fans, I noticed, because he doesn't have a great goal scoring record, and yet has obviously scored, you know, two goals already for us. And then I think Chief Chi, although, was perhaps the big one that really divided people. You know, for me, I just thought, good signing, good player. He's lost his way recently, but if we could get him, you know, back to fitness, back focused on his football, then he could be, you know, a big contributor to the rest of the season. I mean, what did we think then, just of the signings overall? I mean, you know, Buster, I mean, obviously, we needed strikers. Moult was away, you know, Fisher is now away. Newell is obviously far from first team quality yet. Bowman, I think his future has kind of been in the balance pretty much since the start of the season. I think there always seems to be a rumbling around Bowman that perhaps he may be about to leave at any point. So, I mean, how good has the business been, do you think, so far? And what kind of areas do we still need to strengthen?
Well, as you says, I'll go to Chiefty first of all, because I was very unsure of Chiefty. You know, as you say, he has certainly lost his way. Every time he goes somewhere, the reports don't seem to be too great on him. So I was, you know, I was very wary of that signing. Yeah, but, you know, like every other signing, he's always going to get a chance with me. So, you know, he looks as if he'll be all right, to be fair. He looks fantastic when he's got the ball. Wee turns, wee twists here and there. And if he can just start scoring goals, I think he'll be fantastic for us. As you says, there was, just on his partner then, Curtis Main, there was, you know, a couple of people a bit iffy, again, because of his goal-scoring record. But you know, the way I looked at his was, you don't earn yourself a move to the Championship with, I think it was Middlesbrough, bottom for something like Darlington. You don't earn that move if you've not got a bit of talent about you. I'm not too sure what age Curtis Main is, but, you know, that I think he's you know, maybe 25 or something. A wee bit older than the sort of, bring them in at 22, 23 and try and sell them on. But, you know, he's obviously got a wee bit of talent. And the way it looks as if, you know, he'd run through a brick wall for you. So I think that him and Chiefty are going to work pretty well together. You know, once Chiefty gets right up to fitness. And Aldred, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know anything about him. So when he was signed again, it was just a case of, let's see what he can do. But as you say, I did see the comments on Twitter regarding the you know, the Bury fans saying he's the worst player I've seen in ages and stuff like that. But it's, you know, Aldred's looked pretty solid in his two games. I know he came off in the Hamilton game pretty early on, but he looked pretty solid. I didn't see him against, I said two games, sorry, but I didn't see him against Hearts. We didn't manage to go up there yesterday, but it looks pretty decent. And I think the only place that we maybe need to strengthen now is maybe, you know, the left-hand side, basically.
Aye, Peter, I mean, obviously, I don't know if you've had any sort of dealings with any of the new signings in your position as hospitality, just in the, you know, the short couple of games that we've had since the winter break. I mean, one of the things that I thought was noticeable when we signed Chief Chi was there seemed to be kind of two stories about his attitude and about his personality. There was, you know, a lot of people perhaps sort of hearsay, you know, a lot of Motherwell fans maybe being a bit wary about his conduct in the past, about the idea that he gets the red mist from time to time. In fact, I think even during the Ross County game, there was one or two moments where he was sort of shoulder challenging the goalkeeper and things like that when the ball was out of play. I mean, it obviously is a part of his game. But one of the things I've noticed is the likes of, you know, Grant Russell, Alan Burrows, Firth Park, since signing him, have spoke about just how great a guy he is and how, like, he seems to be a really, really nice guy. He's obviously featured in a couple of videos in the Motherwell YouTube, playing games with Biggie and Dunn. And, you know, it's quite surprising to see someone who a lot of Motherwell fans didn't really take to when we first signed because of this perceived bad attitude or lack of focus or whatever you want to call it, and yet it doesn't really seem to be the case.
Yeah, well, I think on that video, I mean, I think if we'd known that Biggie couldn't have tell the difference between Scooby-Doo and Snoop Dogg, we'd always in there. But that's another story for another podcast, possibly. Well, Curtis was in on Wednesday as he was the sponsor's man of the match. Just obviously a brief couple of questions. He seems to have settled in very well. I did congratulate him for signing just ahead of the trip to Tenerife, which was a smashing idea. I think that helped. I think with him and with Nadir settling in and getting to know the guys away on a trip that we did, I think, to Dublin in the summer, it seems to have, you know, give them a chance to get to know each other as players and as teammates and as people. And I think that's one thing that Robbo seems to be very, very good at doing, bringing guys in and, you know, they'll get the right character. I think I seem to remember something from the summer where he said he'd looked at players, he was going to possibly sign a player, and he looked, I think, at his, one of his social media accounts, and there was a couple of things that didn't tally up with his injury record, and he didn't sign him based on that. Mm-hmm. So, based, you know, looking at that, I think he's obviously done his due diligence and spoken to people about Nadir Chiefji. A couple of incidents that you mentioned there about the Ross County game, I think that was perhaps down to maybe his own frustration about not being up to full match sharpness as yet, and he was annoyed at himself more than anything else. I think he'll certainly come good. I think what I've seen, I've been reasonably impressed so far. I mean, the strange thing about some fans, they look at players and think, oh, he didn't score too many goals here and all the rest of it. I mean, who had really a lot of knowledge about Louis Moat before he signed? Was his goals to games ratio that impressive before he came to us? As I said to him when he was in hospitality before the Dundee game, sitting like saying his cheerios, and I can, as I signed it off, I said, "This. Remember when we signed this guy 2.5 years ago, he was signed as an understudy to Wes Fletcher." Now, we laughed about that, but that's where he started off. And people had no great expectations for him at that point, especially when Fletch scored up at Inverness in the first day, with his first touch, literally. So I think we have to, as Buster said himself, as supporters, give all these guys the opportunity. You know, Big Curtis, the two goals and three, doesn't mean that he's going to be fantastic. You know, and just because Nadi hasn't scored yet doesn't mean he's going to be rubbish. I think, you mentioned also the comments a lot of Bury fans had about Tom Aldred. I think when a club, which seems to be in a bit of disarray down the bottom end of the division, you know, the fans are always going to be angry and unhappy with every player. What I would say is, in January they signed Connor Ripley. And I think if we signed Bury's goalkeeper as Connor Ripley, then the form he's in a couple of seasons ago with us, we'd be happy if he signed for us as backup or competition to Trevor Carson. So just because, you know, a player's maybe having a disappointing time, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to have a bad time with us. And I think it was interesting to see hashtag Pete6 on the bench yesterday. I'll get that one in nice and early. Which just shows that guys aren't automatically going to come straight back into the side, which I think is a great thing. Mm-hmm. Because people were thinking, who's going to drop out for Hartley? And, you know, and, well, nobody did. I think it'd be good to get another left side player, left side player in. I think we probably will, although Tate can play there. But if Cads has been out and Elliot Freer is not quite fit yet, we do need cover there. So I think we can see a side in there. And obviously, Fishkin down to Yeovil as well is probably another berth to be filled up up front, especially with Ryan Bowman, who seems to have delighted the Rangers support by getting a sore face. It seems that's some sort of karma, which is...
It seems to make the son overjoyed as well, the Scottish son running the story, as though it was, you know, the work of God as his response for his elbow.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what makes him happy, if that's... They see that as some sort of retribution, then smashing you, go and fill your boots. But the thing that has been forgotten with that whole incident as well is that Cardozo did the same to Louis Moat. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, if just because he caught Moaty under the eye and a couple of stitches, if it'd been a couple of inches to the right, maybe Moaty's nose would have been burst all over his shirt. And you know, we've seen what the reaction was to that. But obviously, Bowie's not going to be back, I think, until towards the end of next month. So we'll certainly need somebody else in, because as you say, Jaws New is very raw, and even Demi is a bit kind of, you know, he's had an injury and he seems to be a bit kind of, we're not quite sure. He's more of a winger rather than out centre forward. We don't really, because we're not playing like a 4-4-2, it's difficult, or a 4-5-1, it's difficult for him to play in his natural position. So maybe another out and out striker could be coming in before Wednesday, and possibly a lefty as well.
And Craig, Peter obviously mentions his namesake, hashtag Pete6. I mean, it's easy to kind of forget that he was, essentially a new signing. You know, you can add him to Chiefji, Main and Aldred during the January transfer window, and that we've obviously made his loan deal permanent. It's obviously one of those ones that I think just about every Motherwell fan seemed to be kind of aware that it was going to happen. But the longer, I suppose, things like that rumble on, we doubt start to creep in, you know, what's the hold up? what's going on there. But no doubt it's a big kind of signing for the club. As Peter also said, you know, a lot of competition for places now. Hartley, before we signed Aldridge, you would imagine would have just walked straight back into the side. But now it's actually difficult to see, you know, where that opportunity is going to come if the back line continue to play how they're doing. But off the park, the video of Peter Hartley obviously was so well received. It was fantastically done. Went viral. You know, it's been all over, you know, the bookies' website, Soccer AM. No doubt, you know, reached all corners of the globe. How important is the kind of the media side these days to the club? Because since, you know, Grant Russell's came in as a communications manager, it sort of seems to now complement a lot of the media work that was already been done at the club by Lewis Irons and the rest of the media team. And we now seem to be producing the kind of output that doesn't just sort of satisfy the fans' urge for, you know, more up-to-date news or sort of relatable content. We now actually seem to be, you know, on the verge of some sort of worldwide viral global brand, because what we're actually producing is you know, rivaling a lot of the top clubs.
Absolutely. I think what you're finding nowadays is, I'm certainly no media expert, but I think the way modern football is going now, these sort of things are becoming more common. These kind of daft videos when people sign more videos of players during the week, sort of training sessions, etc. And if you noticed, you know, during the actual Pete Hartley video with putting the strip on, etc., and then standing on the ground, you would notice that all the sponsors on the strip from other were you know, very prominent at certain points. You've seen it on the stand as well, the way he was standing in the shot of him standing in the centre circle, you noticed the big advertising on the top of the stand. So I'm sure that was all done on purpose to maximise the sponsorship. Got for to get them recognition. I'm sure Mother was delighted the fact that this videos went way above what they, you know, could have even dreamed of. So now getting these sponsorship deals, or these companies getting their brand out there as well. So then that comes to us renewing sponsorship deals and at the end of the season or whenever it is, we can go and say, like, we've got, you know, Twitter and Facebook that can reach X amount of million views. You know, if it's, you know, put a video and it reaches 100,000, it reaches 500,000, or, you know, with this video reached, I think it was over 2 million views on you know, Facebook and Twitter, etc. So that's massive for a club our size. We're not going to sign the biggest, you know, sponsorship deals in the world. We're not going to get the top companies in the world, but we can go to these various other companies and say, look, we can get your brand out here and out there. And so things like that will help Motherwell in the future, because obviously it's all about trying to get new fans as well. It's not a case of, well, your dad will take you now. It's just, it's a new way of working now with things, isn't it? To try and engage with people maybe 100 miles away as well. And if you can convert one or two of them into being a Motherwell fan just because of a daft video or your certain output you're putting out, then fantastic. That's I think, how things are going to go these days.
Aye, absolutely.
I was going to say, you mentioned, obviously, you know, people 100 miles away, whatever, and stuff like that. I seen somebody on Twitter retweet something, and it was in Spanish, so it was, I'm assuming it was maybe for Chile, because
I think it was Sanchez.
They were talking about that on Fox Sports España or whatever it was, or Fox Sports Chile or something, you know, so it's insane how far it actually went, basically.
Well, that's it. I mean, nowadays football clubs' identities are kind of just as much as online as anywhere else, particularly nowadays when ticket prices are obviously going through the roof and less folk are maybe able to actually get to games. You know, the online presence becomes so much more important. And I think, you know, it's obviously great to see us doing it, but I mean, we're doing it by such a considerable distance compared to a lot of the other clubs. You know, it's so simple and yet so effective.
I think my favourite thing from certainly on Twitter this week, obviously Motherwell released that video, Peter Hartley signed, and it got millions of views around the world, and like you say, worldwide exposure. I noticed that the Hamilton Accies official account actually tweeted their poor record in the Scottish Cup. They'd actually put a list of stats out over how many times they'd lost in the first round of the Cup in the last 20 years. And it's like, there's been bad in a tournament, and there's actively promoting how bad you are. It's not quite reached Hamilton yet.
I actually read through that the thread on that, and I think a couple of your supporters have made the same comment. I think Aki's come back and said it was in response to a question or a comment from one of their own supporters, and they said they probably, I think this is something they should have really you know, had it as a like reply rather than a post in its own right. But it did make them look well, I hate to say tin pot, but I'm going to say tin pot anyway. As if to say, look at us, how absolutely rank rotten are we in the cup? But yeah, it was in the same week, as you say, right, that we won Twitter. Then Farakis to have put that out on the, you know, the immediate aftermath of another first round for them exiting the Scottish Cup was a very pleasing juxtaposition.
To be fair with the sort of signing videos and things like you see clubs do as well, our piss take essentially of Man U's was done in good taste, and it was kind of funny. It was good to see it happen. It was good to see it go so viral. But these videos and that are an absolute lot of shite. Did you see the Rangers one for the the Greg Docherty guy? Again, it's my poor knowledge of Hamilton Accies. To be fair, I didn't really know who Greg Docherty was.
That's still going.
Until they talked about him going to Rangers. My mate then showed me this. My mate's a Rangers fan. He showed me this video, and I watched it, and it said, "Welcome, Greg," and I text him and says, "Who's Greg?" And he then had to tell me Greg Docherty. I said, "Oh, sorry, I forgot about that. I forgot he was signing him." But that video again, utter shite. Just the same as the Man U one, really, utter shite. I don't like the way these things are going. But you know, as you say, that's what it is. And if it racks up a wee bit of, as Des mentioned, you know, sponsorship money and things like that, then fair enough.
We know the next thing that we need to really get now in Bristol City, and particularly Aidan Flint have been at the forefront of this goal gift.
Oh, aye.
That's going to be the next thing. I know that, I've been a rugby fan, and Glasgow Warriors do have some try gifts, obviously. But that's, I think, the next thing. If you know, Grant or Roscoe or Lewis are listening into this, that's the next thing. Let's get some interesting goal gifts and see if we can get them viral. It's the next natural step for me. I'm interested to see what they can come up with something like that.
The only one I'll find acceptable then is we only do it once, and it's for Nadir's first goal, and he's butt naked in the helicopter. That'll be fine for me.
In fairness, I think the fact that we're talking about a lack of goal gifts probably leads us nicely into Alex Fisher obviously moving off to Yeovil Town this week. One thing I actually did notice was he's put up a wee statement on Twitter, I think today. Been really quite sort of appreciative of, you know, the Inverness fans and the Motherwell fans, which, you know, isn't really something he's had to do. Had a pretty poor time of it. I think I always get the impression for Fish that he's, you know, he had the ability, he had the effort, he looked like a half decent player, working into the channels, could hold the ball up well, and it just seemed if a goal could just go in off him in some fashion, he might go on to be, you know, a double figure striker by Christmas. But you know, it was just one of those things that wasn't to be.
No, as you say, no, I think we said many a times here, you know, he needs one to go in half his arse or whatever, but as you say, unfortunately, it didn't happen. It was kind of strange as well. Obviously, it wasn't working for him, so fair play, he's got a chance to go and start again, but we was losing, you know, Mo, you know, Bowman's obviously injured at this point as well. To get rid of, we obviously brought in Main and Chiefty, but to get rid of the other striker was a wee bit surprising for me, considering what we'd lost and stuff. But you know, fair play to him. As you say, it did seem like a decent guy, it just didn't work out for him.
I think if you think at the start of the season, they came into the team as well, and you had those kind of two games. The first two games of August, I think it was the Rangers in the first day of the league season, when he was through and goal, with a couple of minutes to go, and it hit Fotheringham, and I think that it bounced off the inside of the post. If that goes in, you know, either side, he's scored in his first game. I think we were up at Ross County J in the League Cup tie, and the one, he, you know, the ball broke to him on the 6-yard box, mm-hmm. in the middle of the goal, and he put it wide. And you know, it's just one of the ones that if one of them goes in, then again, like I said, you'll be looking at a different story, and he's going to score 8, 9, 10 goals before the start of the season, before the middle of the season. But like I say, it's not worked out. I think for both parties, it's the best thing to do. It's just to part ways, and if we've got him off the wage bill and it frees up something, we can maybe get another signing in, and great. But yeah, all the best to him at Yeovil.
Yeah, I mean, personally speaking, he was a very, very nice guy, and although I've seen a few people, Scott Kennedy on Twitter, and he made a good point that he's not really that bored if, you know, players are dead nice and they'll talk to you when you're out in Asda or whatever, he wanted to do the business in the park, and he's absolutely right. And I've seen a lot of people talking, you know, like comments like, you know, don't hit your arse in the way with Fisher and stuff like that. And it's like, well, you know, the guy tried his best, as we've all alluded to. You look back to even the League Cup games, you know, he couldn't buy a goal. And as you say, if one going in early season, I think he might have got the run that Big Bowie got, and who knows what might have happened. Sometimes it just doesn't work out, and the more he was desperate for a goal, the harder he was trying. He was maybe snatching at chances, and it was kind of like into a spiral of the confidence dropping, the effort increasing, but by trying almost too hard, it just wasn't working. And you know, sometimes you just need to say, well, look, it's not going to work out here. We'll let you go, even though, as we say, we're a couple of players down. But you know, I wish him all the best. He tried his best, doesn't work out. I don't get a lot of our fans sort of like, oh, I hate Fisher. I don't get the use. I like the word hate. You know, for a football player that tried his best and it just didn't work out. If you don't rate him, that's entirely your own opinion, and that's fine. But you know, he's a decent big guy. Didn't work out. It's a shame that it didn't, because he's definitely got something. Hopefully he goes to Yeovil, scores a few goals for them, and goes on to do very, very well. But you know, it's just unfortunate that we'll remember Fish for scoring four of his eight Inverness goals against us, rather than unfortunately finding the net for us. But you know, that's what happens. That's football. Doesn't always work out? But
I suppose one of the ironic things is the fact that we've just finished talking about the Bury fans in particular, talking about Tom Aldred. I mean, there might be a podcast somewhere where there's Yeovil Town fans talking about how Alex Fisher must be shit because of the way all the Motherwell fans are going on about him, and yet he might turn up and bang in the goals.
Exactly. Well, this is it. You know, I mean, it's a different level, obviously. I mean, Yeovil, I think, are League Two, if my English football knowledge is up to scratch. So hopefully the standard won't be as high. But again, it's going to be a confidence thing. If he can get in their starting lineup and he can get a goal in his first two or three games, then he may well go on and score six, seven goals and make sure Yeovil, you know, achieve what they want to achieve, whether that's avoiding the drop or getting to the playoffs. I'm not really sure where they are in the league, I've got to be honest. But, you know, achieve, you know, get them at least, you know, further up the table, and, you know, get himself a wee place in their team and become part of Yeovil folklore by scoring a number of goals and going on to be a hero down there. But it's, you know, hopefully. I sometimes don't take all these opinions of fans on board too much. I wait to see how a guy turns out when he pulls on a jersey.
I mean, obviously, Fisher's not the only one who's departing this transfer window. I think I'm right in saying that until Wednesday, Stevie Hamill's still a registered Motherwell player. But then, of course, not that he's leaving Fir Park, but he's taking up his job with the youth academy. Craig, obviously, I think this transfer window obviously has been heavily dominated about the idea of losing Louis Moult and losing his goals and, you know, just the presence he was about the club. But, you know, if Louis Moult's a legend, then we've certainly lost two legends this transfer window, because although Stevie's still going to be in the club, he's going to be a massive miss in and around the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I mean, we're a wee bit generous to Louis Moult there. I think he was a great player for Motherwell, but I'm not quite sure he could put him at legend status yet. Obviously, Stevie Hamill's been there for, albeit, you know, 18 months away, he's been there nearly 20 years. Over 500 games for Motherwell. I don't think it'll be very unlikely you might see another player like that, and even in our lifetime, you know, we're in the early 30s, I don't think maybe you might see another player playing 500 games for Motherwell. So it's brilliant service to guys, you know, for guys like him to play those number of games. You could argue maybe he found the right club at the right level, and he was happy with that. But he was a fantastic left back for us. You know, basically first name in the team sheet for over a decade. You know, superb. What a first touch. You know, what left foot he had on him. He's going to be a massive miss. But I think he's probably the last of the old guard as well. You've seen the likes of Lasley and McFadden have all left recent times. Pearson came back and left again. Manus has moved on to the coaching as well, so he's probably the last of the old guard. We'll talk about the class of 2002 or, you know, whatever they're called these days. But you know, so they're all been and gone now. They're all former players. So I think obviously he's going to be an ideal job for him as well. He's got the experience. He's got the knowledge of coming through, especially at Motherwell as well. So I think that the youngsters are in safe hands. But yeah, I think absolutely legend is. Like you say, I think it's sometimes overused.
But no, I think it's very fitting for Stevie Hamill.
I think one of the strangest things will be actually getting used to, you know, a new left back. Because presumably, I mean, when I started going to the games in 1991, you were looking at Tom Boyd, I presume. I can't even remember, I was too young. But Boyd, then McKinnon came in, then McMillan, then Hamill. It seems to be just one of those positions that we've done really, really well with in terms of, you know, a long-term replacement, a really, really high-class player moving on eventually and being replaced by someone else who's there for the long haul. You know, it'll be quite weird to kind of get used to the idea that not only will we now have to go and look to replace Stevie Hamill, but that idea of a long-term player probably doesn't happen as much. You know, Craig, you obviously mentioned there about the fact that even seeing a player reach the same number of appearances as Stevie Hamill has made is probably very unlikely in our lifetime. So nowadays, when you're looking at bringing in players from England and selling them on a year or two later, I mean, it does look as though that kind of, whether it's luck, whether it's, you know, fate, whatever it is that has allowed us to kind of replace long-term quality left-backs with another one, that might be at the end. I mean, Buster, I don't know if we've been linked to anyone in the press, but it's hard to really see at this stage with the transfer window only a few days away. I'm not sure there's any young players ready to step up. And of course, we've had to see the likes of Andy Rose kind of filling in at left wing back at the moment. It does remain a wee question mark for the rest of the season. You know, who is going to replace somebody like Stevie Hamill? And that's not to say that he's been integral in terms of the left back position this season, because we haven't really played with someone there, playing with a back three most of the time. But it is still going to be a big miss, and I think there will be times this season that we will really notice that he's not there.
No, you're right. Just before we talk about his replacements, as you say, Stevie Hamill is an absolute legend. You know, he had, 18 months away from the club where he went and had a crack at the Championship in England. So, again, as you say, basically throughout the last, 15 years or so, well, actually, I'm just looking up, he started at Motherwell in 1999, so nearly 20 years, he's probably been in and about that first team, if no first choice, as, you know, as Des said, first name in the team sheet. So, you know, just have to congratulate somebody like that on a good career, especially, you know, when he becomes a legend amongst ourselves. And if it wasn't for the fact that he picked up quite a bad injury, what, maybe 3-4 years ago, you know, he could have been pushing 700 appearances for Mull, never mind, you know, the pushing the 600 or whatever he is at the moment, 508 or something he is. But again, as you said, who's going to replace him? I don't know, to be fair. I imagine there's, you know, I've heard people say there's one or two people we're looking at. I've not heard any names, to be honest with you, mind you, but I've heard we're talking to a couple of players. But again, I don't have any idea who will be replacing them. As you say, coming through for the youth team, there's talk of Adam Livingston being, you know, highly rated. I know he plays in the left. I don't know whether he's a midfielder or a left back, but, you know, maybe he'll be one for the future. But I think in the next couple of days we'll be looking at, as you say, maybe plucking somebody from, I don't want to say obscurity, but, you know, maybe from the English War Leagues or something again, just to sort of help out in that position for the rest of the year.
And I suppose,
I think it'll be weird. Maybe not this season, but certainly next season. I think that's when we'll first notice it, when the squad numbers have come out and we see someone else wearing the number 3 jersey, which people see as Stevie Hamill's jersey. You know, well, there's definitely Laz, because obviously you get to, like, your midfielder stuff. He was number 14 for a wee while. We had different other jerseys. Stevie was, except when he came through as a youngster. I remember his first game was a friendly. For some reason, it was kind of March time in 2000. We played Gothenburg for some bizarre reason. I can't remember why.
I remember that, aye.
It was 90 minutes of my life I'll not get back. But I only remember it for Stevie Hamill making his first appearance. And, you know, we'd never have known then he would go on and give such great service to the club. For me, it's almost criminal that he only earned one Scotland cap, and you think of some of the ditties we've had to watch, and you'll agree with that, Jay, as a seasoned traveller with the Tartan Army, that Hamill only got one cap. He should have been rewarded a far more than that, but perhaps selfishly it's good that he's looking at as a Motherwell legend, and maybe not as, like, you know, a former Scotland player. It's, you know, Motherwell player, because we all remember, he didn't score a lot of goals, but when he did, you know, we were memorable, but the one against Aberdeen, he cracked one in for about 35 yards, and, you know, he scored, even seeing him score a header against Inverness, and those that,
made the trip to Iceland. He scored a, I think that they were a header for the edge of the box against Stjarnan, which turned out to be his last goal for us. But, you know, as you said, the word legend is overused. But when you look at guys like Hamill, Lasley, McFadden, Pearson, Clarkson, who's obviously, I'm glad to see Clarkson get back to the club as well. These guys gave unbelievable service to the club. And it's great that, obviously, you know, obviously Pino and Laz, Faddy are elsewhere, but look at some of the play, when the youngsters coming through, you know, the advice and the know-how and the knowledge that they're going to get for guys that were mentioned, and Big Mick as well, Steve McManus at the club, to tap in the guys with that experience. If you're anywhere decent youngster at Firth Park, if you don't make it, it's not going to be the fault of the guys that are there, you know, because you've got every advantage given to you from guys that have played at the highest level, and I think we're as sad as we are to see them not on the pitch anymore. The next 5-10 years of kids coming through the system, we're going to have some good genes coming through because they're going to have the best advice and the best coaches.
Aye, and I suppose if we just kind of turn it back to the results that we've had over the last week, since we started talking about that about half an hour ago. The Ross County, obviously, first league game, first chance, I suppose, to kind of get past that terrible run we were in the league just prior to the winter break. Obviously buoyed a little bit by the Accies game, but you know, still a very difficult game under the floodlights on Wednesday night. But again, a decent enough performance. Didn't again feel like perhaps the heights of the kind of performances we were getting last year, at least at the start of the season. But still a decent enough performance. A poor Ross County side, again, it has to be said. But I suppose, Busta, if you're going to, you know, you can only really face the teams that are in front of you, and to get that 2-0 victory, no matter how we did it, to get that horrible run out of the way must be such a big relief, not just to, you know, ourselves as fans, but to everybody actually at the club.
You're right there, yeah. I think it was, you've been a Mullow fan and the ever eternal optimist that we are, you know, it's one of those ones that could have been a slippery one for us, tricky fixture, you know, but as you said, it wasn't a great performance. I think, you know, what Peter said earlier is right, the performances will start to come, even if we don't, if we win every game 2-0 like that, I don't think MD will complain, but you know, as you said, it was a bit of a tough watch again. A great own goal for the Ross County centre half on his debut. Andy Rose, I think it was, put in a great cross. If you watch the highlights, he started at left back, for some reason made a big diagonal run right across the park and then crossed it in for the right wing. And it looked a decent ball, to be fair, and the centre half wasn't going to pass that opportunity up. He just, boom, right in the top corner. And then, you know, the second goal just after half time. Great work for Chiefty. There's maybe a hint of a foul about it, to be fair. I've the highlights for Sports Scene and ourselves, or the BBC and ourselves, aren't exactly clear. But, you know, Chiefty got in there, made a nuisance himself, took the ball, looked up and put in a great pass. It was perfectly weighted and Main just had to go in there and, you know, flick it essentially past the goalie. So 2-0, done and dusted, 3 points. And as you say, it puts an end to the terrible league performances we've had, the terrible run in the league we've had before that.
And I suppose, Craig, Buster mentions there Andy Rose's part in the own goal. I mean, I noticed, I think it was Talking Buzz had kind of shared something all about, you know, Harry Souter signs in the afternoon, scores an own goal in the evening. Obviously, he get the sort of the press for that. But, I mean, the work for Rose for that goal can't be underestimated. And in fairness, I think that Andy Rose seems to have become one of those players, particularly on social media and the likes of Steelman Online, who a lot of Motherwell fans seem to have, you know, just don't seem too sure about or a little bit negative about. And yet, I think particularly the last couple of games when he's been asked to play out of position at sort of wing back to fill in, I think he's done a fantastic job. I think he's one of those players who does the dirty work. And in fact, like Buster, I didn't make Tynecastle yesterday, but I listened on the sort of the Twitter feed thing the club have got, but had Elliot Freer joining Lewis Irons to do the commentary, and Elliot Freer even made the comment, I think they were talking about Carroll McHugh at the time, and Freer suggested that McHugh is invaluable in the sort of the work that he does that goes unnoticed, and he also then threw Andy Rose into that category as well. I mean, it's perhaps one of those players that just automatically splits opinion because they do a lot of the dirty work, but you know, I think that moment in the Ross County game was kind of symbolised what Andy Rose has kind of brought to the team since he joined for me. You know, he's one of those players who doesn't sort of pop up a lot with the goal or the you know, the creative spark, but what he does do, he does well, and you know, it's invaluable for us.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not going to be, I think what you find, people go for games and they'll kind of vent on their online forums, etc. And a lot of times you'll find, they'll say, oh, well, what did Andy Rose do today? And that's because they haven't noticed the work he's done that's off the ball, that they're closing down. For years, how many times have we moaned about if we get a throw-in, throw it away? It actually seems quite good to actually getting the ball for a throw-in and taking it in and using the ball for there. But absolutely, yes, he's going to these guys. He'll come in and he'll work hard and he'll effectively do a job. He's not going to split the defence. He's not going to take on six guys and put it in the top corner. He might be chip in with the odd goal, as he's done. I think he's got a couple this season. He'll chip in and again. But I think he's one of the guys, the manager and his teammates, will rate far, far higher than the majority of the fans will. And I think every team needs one of them. We can't all be, you know, your fancy Craig Tanner type players. You kind of need the guys who will just dig in, do the job they're asked, and you know, and just get on with it. I've been quite happy with him. I think he's done. He's obviously an asset with different positions. He's, you know, been mostly used in the midfield, but I've seen the last couple of games he's been used at right wing back, and he's come in at left wing back as well. So effectively, he's doing a job for the team. And like I said, the last three games, the team's benefited from him really well. We've got two wins. We've got a draw at Tynecastle. But yeah, I think he's one of the guys that it'll do a job for maybe just to the end of the season. They might leave after that, who knows? But yeah, I think the manager certainly rates him. And that's the most important thing, really.
And then obviously, followed up two victories with a point at Tynecastle. Massive, massive point. Certainly not the kind of place you want to go when you're maybe still trying to get the confidence back up, you know, after the run we'd been on last month. But Pierre, I think one of the biggest things for me about yesterday was, I mean, we've mentioned a few times in the podcast, probably since those three Celtic games, that one of the things we seem to have lost, amongst other things, you know, amongst the ability to sort of play football to any decent level, the confidence seemed to go out of the team. But one of the things I thought we'd also lost was that sort of very clear, very obvious, sort of never say die mentality that we sort of showed so well over a good few games early on in the campaign that seemed to have evaporated a little. But yesterday undoubtedly showed that's back.
Yeah, I think a lot of that just comes from the earlier part of the season. You look at how many games we were maybe behind, and you take Easter Road as a prime example. Me and Meg are cover substitutions, okay, Malty gets the goals, but you know, you're 2-0 down and you think, oh, I don't know. But then we get back in and we probably feel we should have won it. We lost that, I think, because of the injuries, something to chop and change the team. Then you don't have the impact from the bench, players playing with Knox, players being, you know, kind of maybe too very, very kind of fatigued after, as you say, the three Celtic games and everything that entailed. And getting that back, I think, was imperative to getting back and picking up some points. And obviously yesterday, even though, you know, you think, well, 10 minutes to go, 4-0 down, and I don't know, it's maybe we're not going about our day, but you think, well, you know, we bring on Biggie, and he's one of these guys, he's a kind of infectious, positive, wee character, and he's like, I think he seems to just bring a wee spark with him, you know. I'd love to see him maybe get a wee bit of a couple of games. I think he's a decent kind of eye for a goal from midfield. He's not really shown, I think, only got the one up at County, but even him coming on, he won the free kick that led to the scrambled equaliser, which, in a way, I'm almost disappointed was over the line, because I'd like to see Craig Levein bang on about it all week.
Yep.
But it was over the line, you know. It was within the 5 minutes it was added on. Mm-hmm. So, and I think you look over the course of the game, even looking at the MFC highlights, which maybe are a wee bit more biased, but even as you said yourself, following it on like the Twitter feed, you mentioned both teams attacking. You know, it seemed to be, we deserved a point from it. You know, mm-hmm. You look at all those different various media, but the fight did not give in, even though it was only 1-0. Just, we didn't have that fight in us, I think, the latter part of December, for the reasons that were maybe mentioned, but we've got that back, and we've got a point that perhaps a month ago we wouldn't have got, and Hibs away on Wednesday will be a toughie, but again, you look at it, you think, well, we drew there the last time. we felt we should have won it. There's no reason why, perhaps, maybe if you might be fit for that one, hopefully not, or maybe a new face or two potentially available, at least from the bench, we could go there and maybe get revenge for the 1-0 win they took from us back in October as well.
And I suppose one of the kind of downsides to the goal clearly being in is the fact that it doesn't make Craig Levein more miserable, because his post-match interview was just bizarre. I kind of caught it on Sports Scene. And fair play to Daryl Broadfoot, who I'm perhaps not the biggest fan of, but after Craig Levein's interview, I mean, Daryl Broadfoot just laid into him about the fact that Stephen Robinson could say the exact same things. You know, Levein was talking about you know, not getting penalties and being the better team and creating chances, and yet the exact same could be said for Motherwell.
No, yeah, I think it was obviously, as I said, I wasn't there yesterday either. But you know, I sent you a message saying, "Who's that boy on Sports Scene?" And you told me it was Broadfoot, and you know, you'd obviously realised I was asking that because exactly what he was saying. I thought that him and Michael Stewart were actually pretty spot on in what they said about the. I can't even mind exactly what it was, but I mind agreeing 100% with what they'd said about, you know, what had just happened and what I'd just seen. But as you say, it's. I think I put in my Twitter or not at one point, this does not look over the line, and I hope to God it wasn't, just to annoy Craig Levein. But you know, I've since seen stills of it, and it does look as if it was, a literal fraction over the line. But yeah, you say great point. It's great to see that, you know, they've still got that bit of play right to the end. I mean, what was it, 95 minutes or something they scored in? So it's, you know, it's good to see that, you know, they're still willing to battle right to the end there.
And just to quote Daryl Broadfoot again, I mean, he also mentioned that Main's performance was so good that he doesn't think he's seen Christoph Berra have quite as hard a time since coming back up here. I mean, yeah. Craig, at the end of the day, Berra, as a Scotland fan, is perhaps a player that you, like I personally, have never massively rated at any international level, but there's no question that at SPFL level in the Premiership, he strolls through it. He's by far one of the best defenders in the league. And to know that he's been playing against, you know, the likes of your Sinclairs, your Griffiths, your Dembele's, whatever South American Rangers are playing up front any particular week, when you've got someone like Daryl Broadfoot on Sports Scene suggesting that Curtis Main has given him, you know, the most torrid time he's had since he came back up here, that's really big praise.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I think Bear is okay at international level, but yeah, I think at SPFL level, then he's going to be a bit head and shoulders above most other defenders he'll face. So yeah, it's good to hear that our strikers are getting sort of praise like that from out, you know, from guys in the media that are not within the club, and so hopefully Curtis takes that on board if he listens to it as well, and that gives him confidence. He'll be fully aware who Christoph Berra was, and the fact that he has given him a lot of trouble, the fact that he's nicked another goal, hopefully just gives him a lot of confidence as well, and hopefully the other defenders in the league are kind of fully aware of who he is in the next few weeks as well. So I think, you know, I didn't know anything about Curtis Main before we signed him. So I was happy to give him a chance and see how he went, but I've been impressed with what I've seen so far. I think I'd been reading a couple of things about him that he wasn't very mobile and stuff, but that's not what I've seen so far. He seems to be chasing things down, getting in the channels, etc. So far so good from what he's seen, so hopefully he can keep it up.
So anyway, I suppose after a reasonably good, well, probably a very good week for the club, both on and off the park, I think, you know, half decent transfer activity, going viral, getting back to winning ways in the league, next round of the cup, a fantastic point at Tynecastle, two more games in quick succession, you know, again, kind of making a bit of a mockery of the whole winter break situation. You know, have a winter break so Celtic can go to Dubai and then just cram as many fixtures in as you possibly can over the next few weeks. But we've got, obviously, Hibs away on Wednesday. You know, it's certainly a place that we've already been to this season and got a point, albeit thanks to Louis Moult at the time. But I suppose it's a very, very difficult game, but it's not really on paper any more or any less difficult than going to Tynecastle. And I suppose, Buster, going to Easter Road now, having had the week we've got, we can be a lot more optimistic about it.
Yeah, we certainly can. Hibs for me have always been one of those teams, though, where other than the season where they went down, they were utter shite, but they've always been very, very difficult to to put a point to, you know, to basically pinpoint. I think they should be. For example, that game against us, you know, they should have put that away. No credit to ourselves for coming back there at that time, but at that point they should really have put that away, and they should have had the 3 points in the bag. But they're always one of the clubs, as you say, you know, they're a bigger club, they're from Edinburgh, bigger support, things like that. But I always find them a bit weird, depending on how you get them. I think they're doing pretty well under Neil Lennon at the moment. And I think it'll be very, very difficult. But as you says, we're on a decent run so far this year, undefeated 2018, whatever you want to say. But I think, you know, if we come away with a draw there, that'll be another good result.
And I suppose, Craig, the prospect of going to Neil Lennon's, I mean, for me, Neil Lennon's side haven't quite hit the heights. I know they're sitting fourth. I know they're, you know, got a lot of points on the board. They're 10 points clear of ourselves. But, you know, for all the talk and for all the sort of big players that they have, the McGinns, the Stokes, etc., they haven't quite hit the heights that I would have expected from them. And on a Wednesday, you know, a cold Wednesday night, okay, it's away from home. But if the weather keeps up the way it is and we can turn it into the kind of, you know, not that we're a poor football side, but if we can turn it into that bit more physical, a bit more of a scrap, then with guys, the new signings and the guys who have been there and done it, you know, there is no reason why we can't go there and get, you know, at least a point like we did yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Hibs, to be fair, are probably a better football inside than Hearts. I think we're probably a better football inside than Mother overall. But yeah, I think what you said is absolutely bang on. I think we'll look turn into a battle. I think like we did against Hearts, who are a more physical side as well. But I think if we can try and almost bully the sort of Hibs footballers off the pitch and then try and make it into that physical battle, and look to, again, same, look to score from set pieces, look to get in the balls in the box, then we are absolutely capable of getting something there. Hibs have been up and down. They've been relatively consistent. They've done well at stages this season. Obviously, they've got good results against Celtic, home and away. They went to Ibrox and have won. And obviously, they went for Park early in the season, so they are capable on the day. I like, you know, midfield. I've got McGinn and I've got McGeo, who I like a lot as well. We've got plenty of pace on the wings with sort of Barker and Boyle on the right-hand side as well. So they're certainly dangerous. But yeah, absolutely, if we can get our main guys in the game, if we can get Chifji and Main up front and get the ball to them, then we can cause them problems as well. But I think, like Buster, I'd be happy with a point. I'd be delighted with a point coming away from sort of Tyne Castle and Stirling, but with two draws, I'd be over the moon with that.
And it's always difficult to try and preview sort of two upcoming games in the one podcast, because obviously we don't really know what's going to happen on Wednesday. But Peter, obviously Partick Thistle come to Fir Park on Saturday. I think it's a wee bit easy to look at the table and think that that's a game that we should sort of not have a right to win, but you look at it and you think we're 6th, they're 11th, that should be a game that we win. But in saying that, we're only 5 points clear, so that will be a difficult game, but it's a game that marks 3 home ties, for me all winnable ties, you know, Partick Thistle, then St Johnstone on the Tuesday, and then, you know, a week and a half later, Kilmarnock come to Fir Park, which of course will be a difficult game with the sort of the revolution Steve Clark is carrying out there. But for me, Partick Thistle at home in particular marks a chance to really sort of try and stretch some sort of lead in that 6th place.
Absolutely. I mean, they're a strange team, Thistle. I mean, they're just not many teams go up to Perth and win comfortably as they did. Thistle haven't been banging the goals in. So that was an impressive result, so we shouldn't take them for granted. Although, having said that, despite looking at Hamilton Accies in Ross County and Kilmarnock earlier in the season, the worst performance I've seen by any team at Fir Park this season was Thistle when we beat them 3-0 going on 5 or 6. Yeah. They were absolutely dreadful that day. And barring half an hour of utter madness at Fir Hill, you know, we were far better than them then as well. And we even if we 3-0 down, should have had something. So we should, as you say, go in with confidence, although you rightly point out, who knows what could happen on Wednesday night. You know, we could be going there after a good result, or we could, touch wood, hopefully not, but we could pick up, have a suspension, a couple of injuries and have a bad defeat. You don't know, but yeah, looking at it now, if you said to me 4 points, I think we'd probably all agree we'd take 4 points. From this perspective, although we'll win Wednesday night, then we'd win 6. But ahead of those two games, a point on Wednesday night, and certainly you'd look to be beating Thistle, because even though we're sitting sixth, as you rightly point out, my first objective will be to look behind me and see where these teams are, and build up a wee gap. We've got a lot of games coming up against the teams round about us and below us. So between now, certainly at the end of February, this is absolutely vital that we pick up at least a point in every game that we're playing. Because as you say, we've got Thistle then, for the first time this season, bizarrely, St Johnstone. We haven't had them, I think we've played them yet, have we? It's been that long.
Craig Thompson gate.
I'd forgotten about that. I'd blocked that from mind, that lovely Craig Thompson, his nonsense that afternoon. It was that long ago. We've got them, and then what did you say? We'll get Kilmarnock and up to Dens Park before we have Aberdeen at the end of February. So, you know, we've got a lot of games where we want to be picking up points, and by the end of February, if we put a wee unbeaten run together, then I would be very, very confident that we would be, even with the rest of March, we'll get one game at the start of April before the split. If we won beaten between now and the end of February, I would say we'd be in, certainly top six would be almost within our grasp, and I think that's the first priority this season after last season was not being involved in a relegation scrap. The best way of doing that is picking up enough points so that you're getting into the last five games of the season in the top six. Mm-hmm. Even if you go into that, you're only 6 or 7 points ahead of the team, maybe let's say in 10th. But if you take the relegation element out of it, because we don't want to go through what we went through the latter part of last season, because it was a wee bit too stressful for us all. But, you know, certainly, yeah, 4 points this week, and I think we'll all be happy buddies.
Well, I think we've pretty much hit the hour mark, and I think there's no finer point to end than the vision of us staying up by cruising into the top six. So I suppose all that's left to be said is obviously thanks to Peter and Craig for coming on tonight. Cheers, lads.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
And Buster, thanks as always.
No more. Thanks to yourself, Jason.
Right, we'll be back next week, with or without Sparra. We'll see how that kind of pans out, but hopefully we'll be back after at least another 4 points. So until then, cheers.
What we had wasn't really what we come to expect. It's the beat that my heart skipped when we first met. That I've heard it leaves with a kind of regret. No disrespect, but we left a lot of people upset. We had wasn't really what we come to expect. Well, good goddamn, and other such phrases. Haven't heard a beat like this in ages. To miss such a beat would have been outraged. When your heart skips a beat, it's ruthless and aimless. And then she reeled me in, expecting nothing more than kiss, necks and quick sex. But that weren't the case with this platinum princess. She'd attracted my interest, so I wanted to impress upon her all the positive things that come from having more than just a one-night fling. But that's something easier in theory than in practice. Cause pick up runs of tactics to get prey to the mattress. And this actress is practicing shiny such theatrics, put upon daily by tactless geriatrics. So my genuine advances met with real scepticism. Throwing compliments, she just straight elects to miss them. Her lips were put on this earth for dispersing wisdom. God forbid I suggest she lets me kiss them. But I really want to know what she thinks of me, cause I'm loving every idiosyncrasy. But I ain't one to jump for hoops to make a first impression. Been there, done that, learned the worst of lessons. You want to be loving who we appear to be instead of who we are. So our real selves hide behind the pomp and the facade. And that's the truth, the rude boys down in pints and acting hard. As a kid shunning convention with clinical disregard. It's the beat that my heart skips. I don't wait. Bum, 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 body, bum, body, body, body. Now that I've heard it, it leaves me with a kind of regret. No disrespect, but we left a lot of people upset. And what we had wasn't really what we come to expect. Beat them and heart skipped when we first met. Now that I've heard it, it leaves me with a kind of regret. No disrespect, but we left a lot of people upset. This is the beat that my heart skipped when we first met. Now that I've heard it, it leaves me with a kind of regret. No disrespect, but we left a lot of people upset. And what we had wasn't really what we come to expect. Beat them and heart skipped when we first met. Now that I've heard it, it leaves me with a kind of regret. No disrespect, but we left. What we had wasn't really what we come to expect. Every now and then I cower and I need to find empowerment. Empowerment is paramount to how I can begin to man. Plan that I can implement to make it then on ignorance. Instead of drunk belligerence, dissidents and miscreants. Especially in this instance, never any persistence. Use always an incident, as if they were running strength. Be a hole in the defense, beauty and her innocence. Surgical resistance, marvel my goodness. To be that my heart skips. This is the beat that my heart skips.